Stuttgart, das Tor ist leer. Alles oder nichts. Das komplette Fleisch ist aus dem Grill, auf dem Grill die Ecke kommt. Und er ist drin! Und er ist drin! Der absolute Wahnsinn! Der VfB Stuttgart bleibt in der ersten Fußball-Bundesliga. Schiebt sich vor.
Welcome to VfB Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English language VfB Stuttgart fan podcast where views are unofficial, uninformed, and usually unprepared. I am Travis. You can reach me at Hazelfish. He is Matt. You can reach him at Sail Racer. You can reach us online at VfB Americana, at least for another week. We'll get into that later. This is a pretty rough week for Travis, Matt. My kid had his first officially scored athletic event. They lost by 10. Ohio State lost, and I'm going to pretend for the purposes of this rant that I care about Ohio State. My Cleveland Browns super-duper lost, at least to their credit there. Meanwhile, Matt, this has been just victory week for you. Every team that you support, from Michigan to the Packers to the Detroit Lions, who I always mistakenly think you like because you just happen to live near there. I mean, what the heck, Matt? What's going on?
This has been the greatest month for the game of American football the state of Michigan has ever seen. The University of Michigan wins a Rose Bowl, then wins a national championship. The place is exploding. Ann Arbor is in delightful, delirious chaos. The Detroit Lions last night won their first playoff football game since 1991. I had the good fortune to have a friend who's a season ticket holder invite me to go to the game, and it was insane. And as a Packers fan too, the Lions game was an 8 o'clock start. The Packers were up 4:30, so I was missing a huge chunk of the Packers game. But we got there, and inside Ford Field where the Lions play, they had the Packers game on all of the screens. It's like, this is fun. And because if Green Bay beat Dallas, which they did, Detroit gets to keep hosting playoff games as long as they win. So everybody in Ford Field was rooting for the Packers, which to see a bunch of Lions fans cheer for my Packers was a surreal experience. And I wore a Packers shirt underneath a zip up, and I saw a guy out in the beer line at one point in a Packers shirt. And I walked up to him. I said, "How dare you wear that in here?" And he looked at me like I was picking a fight with him, and I unzipped my sweatshirt and I was like, "Go Pack. That was an amazing game." But it's just, yeah, it's been surreal. We're celebrating. Teams that never win anything are celebrating. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was talking with you off the air that, my father, who had passed away, Austin's father as well, was a Lions fan, long-suffering Lions fan for his entire life. And he's up, stairs somewhere right now, looking down, going, the Browns and the Lions made the playoffs. So kudos to the Lions. The only good thing that we have in common is that VfB Stuttgart was the one downer. So I'm glad that we have that, and I was able to bring you down to my level a little bit.
I appreciate the trip back to Earth, Travis. It's been a little too long in the stratosphere for me. It's going to my head.
Here we go with part one, some shout outs. Valby Bingo, we only had 5 out of 25, and the only ones that he really nailed were talking about the players who are missing on international duty, which we'll get into later. Pod predictions, Matt, I stink at this. I went 3-1-5, but you and Jeff flipped my script. Austin is still in the lead with 83 wins and 69 losses. That's a pretty good record. Jeff is 79-73. You are 76-76. I mean, even Steven can't go wrong with that.
I'd be breaking even in Vegas. I think that's a win.
It's going to count here, at least. The Valby Front, they don't play again until March. But they can keep saying they're in first place until March, so they got the going for them. Former Val Bears, we had a bunch. Wataru, along with Hiroki, won 4-2 versus Vietnam in their Asian Cup, each playing 90 minutes. Mo Sanko played 45 minutes on the loss. Omar Baez played 64 minutes in the loss. Luca Pfeiffer had a great chance, but Gregor Kobel blocked it in a loss to Dortmund. And the big news, actually, get your comment on this, is Sasha Kalajic, all 6'7" of him, is back. He played 62-plus minutes in a win over Leipzig, which oddly helps us. So Any welcome back kudos to our old friend, Sasha?
I'm super excited that Sasha's back in the Bundesliga. I'm not looking forward to playing against him. But it was really kind of disappointing that he wasn't getting more time in England, that he wasn't getting used more. He's a super talented, super valuable guy. That's a great team guy too. So he deserves to get some run out there. And anytime Leipzig loses is a good day in my book.
You know, this isn't part of our script, but I actually want to get your thought on this. Are you surprised that of all the guys that have gone over to Europe, which is Mangala, Amada, Dino, Endo, Sasha, that Endo is the most successful of that quintet?
Not really, because like just Endo's got this mentality of I'm going to do what I do, the best I can do, no matter where I am. And he seems the most situation independent. Sasha needs a delivery guy. You know, the other guys need defenders who can play the ball out or need to be in a space with some openings for them. They all need things happening around them to have things go their way. Endo's the dude that creates those things. So he can play anywhere for anybody, anytime and be successful. And my friends who are big Liverpool fans absolutely adore him. And they have been saying, you know, since day one, like, you were right. This was a brilliant signing. We don't know why he's not getting more time on the field.
Yeah, it's I thought Kalajic would have more success. It turns out he was kind of a 80-plus minute guy when you put on when you were down a goal. And he had success, it seemed like, with Wolverhampton that way. But I'm glad to see him back, except for the match. Although I do have a frightening fear that if Zagadou versus Kalajic and Zagadou does his leapfrog maneuver on Sasha may snap in half. The OFC Fantasy, Jens won again to maintain first place overall. Cool runnings and Village Footy, give those guys a listen, are close behind. And Doug, our sporting director, finished up to be in the top four. Tippspiel, Kai Guy won his third match of the weekend. He's in second place, 6 points behind Stefan, while Pete, Rob Holloway, and myself are in third place. So we got a little bit of a battle going there. OFC watch parties. Congratulations to Doug and Youngstown. They were able to beat the weather, beat the Cleveland Browns hangover, and get double digits people for their turnout there. So that's awesome. The OFC website, Matt, it's going to be dead and gone by probably Tuesday or Wednesday. The platform we use, Wix, jumped their rates about double. And since we bring in exactly zero for this podcast, you know what? Plus minus cost sense, it made sense for us to dip it. So we're going to step away from Wix, and we'll have something out there. But, you know, Matt, any, you know, last words to the website that was?
Oh, just that we're, you know, it was a labor of love for you, and I appreciate you having put it up in the first place and tried to get things going there. I have some ideas. I have some poorly written notes on my desk here about where to move it to. If anybody out there in our listening universe has access to free hosting, I think just a simple WordPress platform would do us good. So we've got some ideas. Hopefully we'll have something back on the web in the next month or so.
Yeah, I don't think too many people are going to miss it based on the analytics that Wix provided, which is a great service. Only about two or three people check it out a month. So I don't think it's going to be too missed. But just FYI, we'll be moving on to something else. Let's get into the match a little bit here. The OFC man of the match. It was a tie between Joshua Vagnamon and Angelo Stiller. Who was yours?
Nobody.
Somebody did vote for them. So.
Yeah. I voted for Nubel in the moment, and then I went back and looked at some of the metrics and watched a couple highlights for the game and thought maybe that was a mistake. But it was just a lot of rust. I would vote for Rust-Oleum. We're back in this chain. Rust-Oleum, sponsor us, and we can put a website back up. We'll put your logo on it.
Yeah, where are you? We need you again. Yeah, it was a tie between those two guys. Each got 25% of the vote, but there was a lot of votes all over the place. I was with Stiller. I thought he played okay, especially as the second half went on, but nobody really stood out in this match. So why don't we just jump right in and talk about the match that was. All right, here we go. So part two, it was 12th place hosting third place. Now, we didn't have a chance to talk because that Scottish dude, Derek Ray, just hogged the entire program last time we chatted.
What a prima donna.
that guy and his pronunciation. So, Derek, we love you. But we didn't talk about what we felt like going into this one. You and I both predicted that we would get a result in this one in our pod predictions. I admit I was nervous, but I was riding high off of everything that had happened. The contract extensions, which we'll talk about later, the friendly we had against Fert, you know, prior to this one. So I got caught up in the moment a little bit. Sounds like you did too.
Yeah, and I also, looking at Mönchengladbach, they have now, they have a goal differential of -2. They've got 20 points. They've been kind of hit and miss. Their last five games are a win, a loss, a draw, a loss, and a win. So they're not lighting the world on fire. We've been playing great. One thing that I did not consider is how many players we had out for international duty, which I think really hurt us more than I wanted to admit going into that game.
100%. I think depth is one of the issues we'll talk about later. I was actually going to say this for later, but let's just talk about it now. Is that, did you see the way the Gladbach players were celebrating after the match? And I'm not taking anything away from them, but they were on their knees. They were cheering. They were fist pumping. They wanted this, and maybe this is something we'll dive into in a little bit, more than Stuttgart wanted this. They acted like they had just beaten Bayern. And I think that's a huge sign of respect to where our club is at right now. So I'm not taking anything away from what Gladbach did. And I'm not saying that our guys didn't want it, but I do think we are a target that clubs are going after. And I don't know if we're really ready for that yet. And the way that Gladbach acted after they won that match, yes, they're not having a great season, but you could clearly see how they just were so excited to get a win against us, which is usually the other way around.
Well, it's, you know, this is what happens when you're sitting at the top of the table, and we've been super successful this year. We've put a lot of teams in their place after a long struggle of putting nobody but ourselves in our place. And, you know, Gladbach, as I just said, has been up and down. They're kind of on the struggle bus a little bit, especially for them. They're normally up in the top third of the table, and they're sitting at 10th right now. And that was a huge win that launched them. You know, if you look at from 10th down, it's 20 points, 20 points, 18, 17, 17. Like, there's a big traffic jam there. So those 3 points were absolutely huge for them. And to get them against the hottest team in the Bundesliga right now, arguably, yeah, that's huge and good for them. I think if I was them, I would have been celebrating like that too.
The other thing that was funny, that there were a few Dortmund fans on Twitter that were going after Stuttgart. I don't know if you saw this, but they did these memes about the Stuttgart downfall and how excited, you know, they were for this. And Stuttgart supporters are kind of like, the Mainz match last year. Did you guys win the Bundesliga? So it's interesting because we haven't been in this position in so long to where, like I said before, we're a target where other clubs are happy to see us lose. Usually it's the clubs like the Darmstadts and the Colognes that are happy to see us lose. I don't know if you saw any of that, but I was kind of like, wow, Twitter is this dark place that people have told me about that I've just kind of like naively stayed away from.
I've been keeping my Bundesliga follows mainly to our fellow VfB Americana folks. So I avoided that, but I don't, if you're Dortmund, like, man, what are you taking shots at Stuttgart for? Like, go get Bayern, go do something. Like, we just got here. We're the new kids in the room. You don't need to come after us. Yeah. We're not hurting anybody.
I know. I found that really, really bizarre. But you mentioned about how you had some questions going into this one. And one of the things you put out on, you know, the aforementioned Twitter was the lineup. And I agree with you. I was a little bit surprised. So we're missing Seru, Silas, Hiroki, and Wujong, who are in the Africa or the Asian Cup of Nations on international duty. Stenzel was on the right, and Joshua was playing right wing. We lined up in a 4-2-3-1. You put out there is like, what was up with the Joshua and Stenzel situation? Because it didn't work, and Stenzel was subbed out at the halftime. Sounds like you were surprised, just like I was on that one.
Yeah, I was confused. I thought when I first just kind of glanced at it that I had read something wrong, and that there's no way Fagnon's playing an attacking wing position. That doesn't make any sense. And it didn't make sense in practice either. He looked lost and out of place for large stretches of that game. And once Stenzel went out, who was bad, the entire game. Once he got subbed out and Wagnermann was put back in a defensive role and giving, you know, his typical freedom to attack from there, he did great and he got a goal. But as an upfront player, some of the Discord commentators were saying that he's way too narrow. He's not stretching the field enough. And it was just pretty obvious he was uncomfortable where he was. You can't take a guy who spent his entire career playing right back and ask him to play right mid without some extensive practice to undo some of that muscle memory he's got about where to be when on the field. And I'm wondering if this isn't something that Honus has been thinking about. Maybe they've been trying it in practice a little bit, but I don't think Joshua was ready for it. And the results on the field are what happens when you're not ready for a position switch like that.
Yeah, because they switched to a 3-4-3 or thereabouts after the halftime break. It was almost like a Bruno move where I'm just going to put guys in spots. It just didn't really... Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to put this without mentioning Bruno.
You're not wrong, but man, that hurts.
I know. I don't want to put Sebastian in that same boat, but it just was an odd move. He didn't look too comfortable there, like you said. Let's break down the match using Dennis's quote after the match. So this is what Dennis Undav said. He had two opportunities in the first half, followed by another one in the second half. He didn't convert on any of them. Quote, "I don't know if it's bad luck or if I'm just too bad," end quote. So let's use that as a frame of reference to talk about some of these talking points. The start, 21 seconds into this, Gladbach's Hawk was able to put away a goal, and then 20 minutes later, he was able to do the same thing. Bad luck or just bad play? What's your vote?
It felt like... I'm going to answer it by not actually answering your question. It felt like the Gladbach guys came out to play and the Stuttgart guys came out for their last practice before the game. And we didn't look ready. We didn't have our foot on the gas. And I think Gladbach knew if they could get up early, they could park the bus. And that without Gerassi, we would have a hard time breaking that down. And yeah, they were right.
Yeah.
So I would count more of it up to, like, there was a lot of bad luck here. Undav put, what, two of them off the post. We had a couple really, really good opportunities that we just didn't cash in on. So luck was definitely against us in this one, but also we just didn't look ready to go.
Yeah, I'm going to vote bad luck on this one. It was similar to the Bayern match where just Alex came out a little bit tentative, and so they go up a goal, and all of a sudden the whole game plan completely shifts. I will say they didn't look like they were just ready to go in fifth gear from the get-go, but I don't think it was just bad play. I think it was just bad luck or, you know, bad mojo, whatever the case was. So let's jump into your next topic, which was the chances. So the unfinished chances. Undav, he was the show for most of the match. And then as the second half went on and as those changes took place, we were getting more and more chances, but we still couldn't finish much in that final third. So, you know, bad luck or just bad play?
I think we were not set up well to execute here, and that the Wagnermann playing on the right, I was feeling going into halftime like we were trying to force the ball down the right-hand side. They put up the AWS advanced stats right after I started typing that into the Discord chat, and it showed that we were even across the board. So I think probably just the attack was so slow going up the right hand side and so kludgy that it felt like we were trying to do it more because it wasn't as smooth and prepared. But the lineup was weird. The guys, we didn't play well. I mean we carried play for big stretches of this, but we made some huge mistakes that led to those goals. So bad luck and bad play, but mostly bad. Like,
just bad.
We started with our car in reverse when the lights went out, and that did not put us in a position to win the race.
Yeah, I think it could be both. Like you just said, actually, bad luck, because Dennis hit the post. He had another shot that was close, but it can also be bad play. I mean, as the match went on, it became pretty clear that Gladbach was going to let us have possession and see what we could do, and we just weren't able to finish. So I think it could be a little bit of both. Let's get to the next talking point, the lineup, which we both kind of questioned a little bit, versus the halftime changes. Sounds like we're both kind of positive on. So we had Leveling and Renault came in for Maxi and Pascal. And we went more to a 3-4-3 from our usual 4 2-3-1 and make the game wider, which makes me sound really intelligent, but I just read what Sebastian Onis said, and that's what he said there. Joshua got the 55th minute goal. Honestly, I wanted to pull Joshua because that right-hand side was just so anemic. Nothing was happening. I'm going to vote for bad luck. I think the depth issue showed up in this first match, which is disappointing. I'm not even talking about Seiru. I'm not, having Silas, not having Wu Zhang. I think, and then we especially saw that in the second half here, but it seemed like things started to change in our favor in the second half, even though we still weren't able to finish in that final third. I think that changes were positive by Honus. I think he was somewhat limited by depth, and I think you really saw that when Raymond came in and almost got a red card, in my opinion, by just kicking everybody's shins as fast as he could, because he was too fast for the game at that point. So I'm voting bad luck on this one. What about you?
I think I'm mostly with you on bad luck. I think that the team was not prepared for what we had. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's hard to conceptualize what something's going to look like. If you're at work and you work with a team of people regularly and all of a sudden one of them comes in and says, hey, I got a new job and I'm leaving. It's hard to think about what is office life going to look like when that guy goes away. And we're in the same situation on the pitch. You know, how do we adjust to Silas not being there? How do we adjust to Wu Zhang not being around? And these guys are key contributors to what we do all the time. And the guys that replaced them, you know, will play their best and will give us everything they have. But they've got a different skill set. They've got a different way of being on the pitch. And we need to make appropriate adjustments to accommodate that. And I don't think we did. And I think it was just a little bit of a, oh, yeah, this isn't going to be just plug and play moment for the team. And I have faith that Honus will figure it out. We did better in the second half than we did in the first. I expect the next game will be better than the Gladbach one was.
It's funny because Honus did mention going into this one that you don't know what to expect from Gladbach. They're a bit of a mixed bag, was his quote. And he meant that in a positive term. And at home, they're much better than on the road. So they kudos to them. They played really well in this one. I think the depth issue is what really showed up to me. Dennis Hundov looked gassed that last 10, 15 minutes. And I kind of understand why Honus pulls him with about 20, 25 minutes left. Okay. So he can go all out. I was kind of hoping we would see the kid Milosevic, because he looked really good in that friendly against Furt, to give Dennis a rest. But the roster is bare bones. I mean, there were a lot of kids who have never played Bundesliga before that were on that bench. And we didn't go to the bench. We only put, I think, three guys in, and one of them was Raymond. So, yeah, I think to your point is Honus is kind of seeing, okay, this is the roster I have for at least the next 4 weeks probably. And it's going to take some trial and error to figure out, you know, what's what. Let's get to the last talking point that I thought of was possession. Stuttgart dominated possession 72% versus Gladbach's counter game. And they were dangerous on the counter. If we are fair, this was a deserved loss. I mean, we could have gotten a result, I think, with a little bit of luck. But there were a couple opportunities that Gladbach just whiffed on the break. And I kind of am concerned about this because we saw a similar situation against Bayern. Bayern was like, okay, you guys can have possession, and then we're just going to hit you on the counter. And they hit us on the counter. And we sort of saw that again to a lesser extent in this match. I'm not saying the teams have figured us out per se, but we do have to adjust. So this possession versus the counter situation, this is hard to put in that frame of bad luck versus just bad. What do you think?
I think we're not good at breaking down a team that's parking the bus right now. And that's, we saw this last year and the year before even, where we'd be playing against a top club and we'd look a lot better than we would against the bottom club because we hadn't figured out how to unlock those situations. So I think we're there a little bit right now when we're at our full strength and we have some depth and we can swap out five guys in a game. We have that capability with the depleted roster we're at right now. We're not really there right now. So I think that there's some learning and some coaching probably to do around how we handle the counter and respond to it better. We looked like we were caught off guard on that. And we haven't faced a lot of it this year, really, for whatever reason. But the guys looked a little surprised that that was a tactic. So I have complete faith in Honus still. I'm not worried about this. It wasn't a fun game to watch. It was not an exciting or gratifying way to come back to the Bundesliga. But probably something that needed to happen so that we can reassess and make some adjustments and move forward.
Well, let's do some of that, you know, reassessing right now. Is the bottom line is 17 matches in, this team has got 34 points and is in third place right now. So, I mean, everything is better than what we ever thought it would be going into this season. And Sebastian didn't want to talk about Seiru after the match. He's like, listen, he's not here. I got to talk about the guys that are here. The good news is Dennis kind of hobbled off the pitch, but according to the reports today, as we record this on Monday, he's looking, you know, fine going into the Boca match coming up. We ended the first half in third place. Man, it's crazy. So looking at the top of the table, Bayern destroyed Hoffenheim. Leverkusen got a last-minute win over Augsburg to stay in first place. Leipzig lost at home to Frankfurt, and Dortmund had a closer-than-the-score win against Darmstadt. Those are your top six, Matt. I'm still mentioning us in the top six to the point, like we talked about earlier, that one or two of those teams in the top six are starting to kind of gripe about us a little bit. So, I mean, come on. Final thoughts on the week that was and where we're at right now.
The whole season is still surreal. And I think at the end of this, we'll have to take some time to sit and just think about it and appreciate it, what we witnessed. But we're in a spot where we're going to have, we all need to come to terms with this right now. We're going to have some of these games in the second half. It's going to happen. There's going to be speed bumps. The steamroller will not continue to run unabated. And so that's okay. What we want to see now is in the next game that we come back and make appropriate adjustments and move forward. If we're still sitting up, you know, 4, 5, 6, third, second, who knows, at the end of the season, that'd be miraculous. If any of us had been told third place at the holiday break, you know, we'd have lost our minds with joy about that. So I'm not getting too worked up about this result. I don't love it. A lot of improvement to be made out of it, but also we didn't just completely epically collapse against Köln or something.
Yeah, it's nuts to think where we're at on the table and where we can gripe about the 34 point status after 17 matches here. It's better than we've ever thought it would be. And yeah, outside of that last goal, I mean, we were in this thing until the end, which is, you know, what you're hoping for. And like you said, I've got faith in Honus to kind of right the ship a little bit. The Boca match will be big to kind of get us back on the right path. So it'll be good to see. It's really good to see. We got some good news, some good headlines. You ready to jump into that?
Let's go.
All right, so news and headlines, man. We got some international play. So Seiru had that injury scare, pulled up a little lame in a friendly against Nigeria for the Africa Cup of Nations. But according to all reports, he's going to be fine. He's not going to play in the match that's coming up. It's either today as we record or tomorrow to kind of take care of it for precautions. I mean, at least it's a lot better than what happened to Boniface from Bayer Leverkusen. That guy's out. He tore a muscle until April or May, I think. So we got that. Hiroki Ito played 90 minutes for Japan, which is awesome because, you know, the last we saw him before the international break, he had a muscle injury. Wooyoung played 10 minutes for South Korea in their win over Bahrain. I see a lot of plays on Wednesday. You know, any comments or thoughts on any of the guys playing international play right now?
I want to take a second to talk about Ito because let's remember back 2 years ago, this was a guy we signed to play in our second team, so in the fourth division in the regionalia, and he just put in 90 minutes for one of the best men's national teams in the world. Like, this guy's rise has been meteoric, and it's so cool that we get to have him around and that he still seems to be under the radar somehow. I don't hear him talked about anywhere.
It's wild too, because I don't think you hear him talked about by us that much. I mean
right,
it's crazy because Maxim Nilstadt had played really well up until this match, and I really didn't expect him to get pulled, and he was. And so it's going to be really interesting when Hiroki comes back. What is Sebastian going to do? Because Maxi's played pretty well, but Hiroki's a national team player for one of the best, you know, teams in the world. It's going to be kind of an embarrassment of riches at that left side.
Yeah, and we have the added benefit of Ito can play defensive mid if we want. I don't know if Mittelstadt can, but you know, maybe we give Stiller a breather and move Ito up into his spot. Maybe we give Carrizoor a breather for a day. It gives us some flexibility to give some guys some rest, which I like. And it's all because Ito can play multiple positions and highly effectively.
Yeah, I'll talk about the elephant in the room that we're all ignoring is Seiru. Thank goodness his thigh is okay. When that news broke, everybody's jaw dropped a bit because you're like, oh God, here we go. So hopefully the injury is exactly what they said, just something minor, and he can kind of work his way in and come back to us in late January, early February for that one. I believe his purchase option is over either this weekend or next weekend. So it sounds like, by knock on wood, all accounts, he's going to, God, I hope I don't jinx this, stay with the club the rest of the season, which would be awesome. So hopefully that works out for him. We got a couple contract extensions. We got Enzo Milo. We got Valdi Anton. So Enzo has been extended from 2025 to 2028. Anton was extended to 2027. Couple quotes from those two guys from Enzo. Quote, our fans and our stadium played a big part in this extension. The atmosphere at home games is incredible. We have a top team, great coach, and have recently played successful games. That's why I've decided to stay at Stuttgart longer, end quote. And then Anton said, quote, we are on the same wavelength. A lot of things are right for me here. I feel comfortable and therefore very happy about the extension. Volgamut, you know, praised both of them. You know, there were some great hype videos about them. I like the one Enzo's was just exciting and cool. I hope my school extends my contract. They do something like that for me. Valdi Anton just stared into the camera for about 60 seconds, which was also cool and intimidating. Enzo and Valdi, I mean, that's two big wins, man.
Those are two key pieces to the success that we've been having. And to see them get locked up and hear them say that they wanted to stay and that they want to be here because of the environment, because of the atmosphere, because of the attitude in the clubhouse, like, that's a sign to me that things are going in the right direction and that I think we can see more of these going forward. And maybe we can start hoping that the offseason is not going to be a fire sale to capitalize.
Yeah, I'd like to see a hype video of me sitting at my computer while kids are filling out worksheets, or a hype video of you doing whatever it is you do.
Travis, I'm a sucker for a hype video, and I would watch the hell out of both of those.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Which signing is more important?
Oh, Anton, because we have less depth in defense than we do in midfield.
Yeah, Anton's my favorite player. I'm going to go Enzo just because he's such a creative midfield, forward type player. But yeah, there's no losing there. We got a couple players coming in. We've got Justin Diehl from Cologne. So if you don't know this, so he is one of the top youth strikers in the Bundesliga in the under 21. Cologne, for whatever reason, refused to play this kid because he wouldn't commit to Cologne. Well, he's about to sign with Stuttgart, although a couple other teams have entered in. I watched this kid play against Heidenheim this past weekend. He looks good. The other thing we got is Valby membership has gone up to 90,000. Stuttgart is actively trying to recruit to get that number up. Matt, people coming to the club. What do you think?
I think that the reason we got over the 90,000 club members is because of the work of the Americana OFC, and that we deserve some sort of appreciation and shout out. We'll take it in the form of all expense straight paid trips to Stuttgart to watch a home match. Just call our people, Follow Up Bay front office. This is all very exciting stuff, and it's very cool, and it's nice that we've got some consistent positive news going on right now.
It's a weird world to be in. Okay, let's get to some questions here. Old friend Flabby Viking has a great one. I like this. If we could franchise three players, and Seiru is not one of them, who would they be? Matt, I'll start us off. I would take Alex Neubel. I would take Angelo Stiller and Dennis Undoff. I kind of like having the central core. I'm going to use my Major League Baseball idea of having, you know, the catcher, the shortstop, the center fielder type of idea. I would miss Valdi Anton. I miss Daxo, the DJ, but I kind of like that core there. What about you? You get three guys you can franchise. Who are you picking?
We have an up-and-coming goaltender, and he's not anywhere near ready yet. But because of that, and because you said Neubel, I'll go with Anton, Carrizore, and Undav. I think Carrizore and Stiller are very – the outcomes of their play is very similar, but they get there in different directions. And I feel like Carrizore is very quietly, consistently – good for us in that defensive midfield role. So that's where I'd go. But either direction, you've got to have Undav right now. He's the up and coming hot striker for us, with, you know, yesterday's results aside.
Two things is one, Angelo really got into the match as the match went on. We're used to him being very precise, and he wasn't initially, but he seemed to be as the match went on. And two, I'm pretty sure you're just picking Ana Carrizore because Derek Ray said Ana Carrizore last episode.
Look, just because my new best friend Derek Ray and I have some thoughts in common, you know, don't read too much into it.
Oh, you guys should have seen it. He was such a fanboy last episode, which is totally fine. So was I.
1,000%. 1,000%.
I'm
not even going to try and deny it.
No, that was, yeah, I barely held it together because I was like, oh, God, I hope I'm just recording this and not screwing this up here. Derek, can you come back on? Because we have to know the first time. Doug says, not much to like in this match, so I just handed my daughter my phone to pick the man of the match. Who do you think she just randomly picked, Matt?
Enzo, because he's got the fuzzy haircut in this picture.
Chris Furich, who also has just a very sharp haircut, though. So that's
he does. It looks like you could cut your hand on his hair.
You know, it's almost Mario Gomez sharp right there. Mm. No, I was remembering during the COVID years when Mario almost got in that controversy because of the haircut situation where none of those guys were supposed to be able to get haircuts, but he did.
He always looked sharp, had those clean lines. Haircut you could sharpen a knife with. I'm with you.
I'm gonna have to edit this real quick.
I tried and I ran out of shit to say.
Oh no, I had to get the Zoom thing. Maybe I won't edit it. You know, oh, that could be our Patreon account. Listen, you pony up $5 an episode. You can listen to us try to get the Zoom to work.
No. Click over there. Over there.
My left. Military left. What? All right. All right. Here we go. Back on it. Here we go. A couple ones. Shumi fan. So Tim said, don't want to say it, but I hope Gerassi is back after the group stage of the Africa Cup. Stuttgart looks lost around the net without him. Then I am Rob Holloway said, I don't want to say if Seiru was here, we just came out flat and played from behind from the start. Still in good shape, but our defenders need to play better. I don't think there's reason to worry, but we didn't look good after being away for a month. And then Peter from Valpi Omaha said, what will we do if Undav has to miss any time with an injury? He was hobbling after the match. The good news is it sounds like he's going to be okay for next week, but I wouldn't bank on him playing a full 90 minutes. But anyway, Matt, these are some really good questions regarding who's going to score goals for us until Seiru is back.
I think Undav has the capability to do that. I think he had kind of a rough outing the last week, had some bad luck, a couple balls off the post. There were one or two that he passed that I wish he had shot. And that's just the guys are learning how to operate without their talisman on the field with them. And that's going to take a little bit of time because for bad, sometimes the solution had become just give the ball to Seiru and see what happens. So this could ultimately be a good thing. But if Undav goes like legit goes down, I don't know, Maybe since we tried Fakhnemann on the right wing, maybe we try him at attacker. I don't know.
I kind of want to stick with this point because I thought maybe we're on the same page here. There were moments where I was like, guys, shoot the ball. Because it seemed like they were trying to pass a lot. And Chris Furch was a guy in particular where I was like, shoot it. Just use your go left, go right, kick it. And it seemed like they were trying to figure out how to work with this new lineup without Sabre there. I agree with you. There's multiple times where I was like, guys, just shoot the ball.
Yeah, it's like they're used to doing the work to feed Gerassi, and now there's not a Gerassi to feed, so they're still doing the work, and then they're going, oh, wait, now what? it's got to be more of a by committee situation, and some of these guys who aren't used to taking chances are going to have to start taking some more chances.
Kai here. Kai says, you know, still third place despite the defeat, only 6 points with 17 games left to ensure that they don't get relegated. So he's referring to the magic 40-point threshold. A little reminder might be a good idea so we don't forget where we come from. I'm not worried yet. An anonymous person put in, Stuttgart will have to roll the punches like this to stay toward the top of the table. What I like about these two questions is they're from completely different ends of the spectrum. And they're very contrasting, right? So let's just look at the table really quick. We're clearly safe. I understand 100% what Kai is saying. Like 40 points is the magic number, right? But if you look at the bottom of the table, it's going to take a monumental task for those bottom three clubs to climb up. So I think it's relatively okay to say we're in safety zone. But we're in this really weird spot where we have a chance at the Champions League, especially if, as Derek said, my best friend, not yours, he said.
How dare you?
If it goes to the top five instead of just the top four. So here's a great question. Bringing those two together is, where should we be mentally after a match like this? Should we be uber disappointed, or should we be like, you listen, we're averaging 2 points a match at this point? I ask you because I honestly don't know how to feel about this. So I need some guidance.
I understand feeling some disappointment, especially in the moment. But, you know, like, we try and give ourselves 24 hours before we react to these things too much. I think that's a good mantra as a fan base to say, let's take 24 hours and then reassess how we're feeling. And with this game in particular, I feel like we didn't play our best, that Gladbach punched us in the face when we weren't expecting it, and that we did a bad job of recovering from that. And those are all correctable. Those aren't systemic core issues with the team. That was, you had a bad day. So we can get up, move on from this day. It'll be okay. And as you said, we're safe. We don't have to go through the panic of relegation fear this year. We can just enjoy this ride. So let's not freak out every time we don't win. We're not going to win them all. It's not going to happen. And that's okay. And we might still be in Europa League or Champions League when this is all said and done, which would be an absolutely remarkable turnaround from being in the relegation playoff last year.
It's wild to think, and I'm going to probably clip this because you and I will probably both be moaning if we don't finish fourth or fifth.
Oh, 100%. I can guarantee it. I guarantee it.
I have no idea how to feel about this team right now. I'm just happy we're at the third place. Disappointed that we lost. I'm happy we're fighting for Champions League, but I'm sad we're fighting for Champions League because I've always been told we shouldn't fight for Champions League this soon. So I don't know where to go or how to feel about anything at this point. I'm just all over the place.
The problems of success.
Ah, maybe that's why I'm not too used to it. All right, last comment was, loved last week's episode. Damn right you did. That was a great episode a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, whoever commented that, you win commenter of the week. Congratulations.
Wait, did you make that comment?
I don't remember doing it, but it's been a heady couple of days here.
All right, let's go to our final. Oh, boy. Just wait till Spotify deletes us. So once I'm gone, this is done.
It's only a matter of time.
It's a ticking clock. All right, part four, Matt. We got Bochum on the road. So we got two road matches in a row. So it's this Saturday. We lead 36 wins to 15 losses. We are 6-5-1 in the last 12. So five draws. We are 3 wins, 2 draws in the last five. We won earlier this season, 5-0. Braces from Seiru and Silas and a goal from DJ Daxo. All signs are pointing toward a good day for Valpe. When you hear Bochum, what goes through your mind?
It throws me off a little bit that they're VFL all the time instead of VFB. They have kind of a neat shield. The swoopy thing on the side is sort of cool. And that about ends what I think about Bochum.
Ballham asks, do you find it interesting they were formed in 1848? That's kind of
That's fascinating. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody out there, if you want to get a really great history of all the German clubs, read Uli Hess's book about kind of the formation of the Bundesliga and all that stuff. So he can answer that question for you, Ballham, for sure. All right. Bochum is in 14th place, 17 points. So they're 6 points above the playoff relegation spot right now. They're coming off a 1-1 comeback draw versus Werder Bremen. Here's what worries me. They are 2 wins, 5 draws, and only 1 loss at home, including some of the heavy hitters in the Bundesliga so far. So this is gonna be a tough match away from home. And no, Moham, no one ever calls Mercedes-Benz Arena whatever they called it in the 1930s and 1940s. So you can, I appreciate the question, but there's not a single person that's like, yeah, I'm gonna go to that place after the 1930s dictator. No. So we're playing away from home again. We haven't lost to them since 2014, which was in the Pokal, but we're missing a lot of key players. I mean, I'm torn on this one. Where are you at?
I think we got to look at this as a potential get-right game where we can take some of the lessons that we learned against Gladbach and an unpredictable Gladbach team who does weird things and is weird. We can go in against this more predictable opponent. We can bet Bochum's going to park the bus. They're going to play super defensively. They're going to be going on the counter. So we can come in planning for that. And I feel like if we start out a full throttle and take it to them right from the opening kick, we've got a really good chance. If we open tentative like we did against Gladbach and try and wait for this 10 or 15 minute feeling out period, I'm going to get real nervous.
Well, we're going to run into some old friends in this one, right? We're going to run into old friend Phil Forster in this one. Old friend, I believe, Asano? Or is he in Japan right now?
No, I think he is at Bochum, and he announced that he was not renewing his contract there. So there's been some talk about him being a free agent at the end of the season.
Ooh, that's right.
But I got a question about Forster. Is this mustache Forster or no mustache? Because those are two very different players.
I just looked on the FotMob app, and Asano is in Japan or is in Asia for the Japanese national team. So he's not there, and he's one of their key players. Phil Forster, would you be more worried if he was with his mustache or without his mustache?
If he shows up with that 1980s contractor stash, I get more nervous. That's when he was his most effective for us.
I'm going to look him up right now and see what his picture is on FotMob. What do you think it is? This will be like that Office episode where they try to guess where Stanley has a mustache or no mustache.
I'm going to bet on FotMob he's got no mustache.
He not only has a mustache, but he has frosted blonde tips on FotMob.
Oh,
man.
If, you know, if he comes in 90s boy band style, that could be pure decimation for us. The sheer power of that audacity might be insurmountable.
That could be rough for us. Bochum's goalie is a bit of a wild card there. He is always all over the place. I think exactly what you said. They're going to park the bus, and it's up to us to figure out a way to get through that. And we've really struggled with that the last couple matches. So I'm not sure what to expect. What do you think the odds makers have this one at?
Stuttgart by half a goal.
I'm so excited that I brought you down to my level of degeneracy to where you are nailing these. Congratulations. 100%. It, Stuttgart on the road for the second match in a row is a half goal favorite in this one. I'll give you a second to think about it. I'm really nervous about this. We have always rebounded after a loss this year, and we haven't had that many losses. And this is the perfect get right game, exactly what you said. I just hate the narrative of without Seiru, we are nothing. That kind of weighs on the guys a little bit. I think you could see it weighing on Dennis a little bit, that he really wants to provide for this club, not only individually, but just to get that narrative out of there, that he can be a striker, because he wants to play for the national team. If he can play well over the next month, that's going to go well for him. I worry that this is going to be a 1-1 draw. I don't see how we give up more than one goal in this one, but I'm worried about how we get a goal in this one. So I'm going to stick with a draw. So I'm going to go Bochum in this, because they've got the odds based on the sports books.
So I think you're dead on the Undav's feeling some pressure. And I think it's entirely self-inflicted. He wants to be Gerasi when Gerasi is not there. He wants to have that same impact. He wants to be the go-to guy that we can count on. And I think he can. I worry a little bit about him trying too hard and psyching himself out. But I think he'll be running full blast when he gets on the field. And I'm looking for him to get a good early goal and settle the team. And I think if Undav can get on the board right away, everybody's going to go, oh, we're okay. We got this. It'll be fine. You know, us, you and I, and the rest of the fan base included. So I'm looking for Undav to pull some Undav magic.
That would be fantastic, because I 100% agree with you that would take the pressure off the guys, and it would also take the pressure off just the playing style. You know, against Bayern and against Gladbach, two of the last three matches, we've given up ridiculous early goals, and it's completely shifted and changed what we want to do that particular match. So if we can just work our way into it and not make a silly mistake early, I like our chances. I mean, we should take Bochum to the woodshed in this one. But this is the Bundesliga, and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, we play Leipzig next week, and a Frankfurt club that should have been beaten by them, you know, beating them 1-0 at Leipzig. So you never know. All right. So I'm going to say it's going to be a 1-1 draw in this one. I'll say that Chris gets on the board, but we unfortunately only walk away from this from 1 point. What do you think the final score is going to be?
I'm going to say 2-0. I think we get one early, and then we get one either late in the first half or early in the second half, and play ping pong for the rest of the game.
All right, here we go. Last question from Ballham. I like this a lot. So it's just the new year. We're entering into 2024. He asks, quite simply, any big plans you got for the new year?
I'm going to get to go to Germany for work for a little while, visiting, fortunately not Stuttgart, but five different cities, and none of them anywhere near a Stuttgart match.
Oh, no.
It's just bad luck. I had two coworkers reach out and say, hey, are we going to go see that soccer team that you like while we're there? I do have, we've got an office in Dresden, and I've been talking to some of the guys there a lot, and talking about maybe trying to take in a Dresden match. So we'll see if we see a Dynamo game, but I've got some work travel coming up, which is going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to more Stuttgart success, more Michigan fans trash talking everybody on Twitter. It's been giving me life, and seeing the Detroit Lions fans lose their minds right now. This is like, they're the American football version of us. Their team has been bad for so long. They're finally seeing some success, even as a Packers fan surrounded by Lions fans. I'm enjoying seeing these guys lose their minds, because their team is winning for the first time in three generations.
I would think it would have to be similar to a Nuremberg when they came up the 1 year from the second division and won the Bundesliga the next year. It was just ridiculous. Or was a Premier League club that won the Bundesliga? No, it was at Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester City.
Yeah, so they end up winning, and nobody. That is what the Detroit Lions are for. American football. So it's really difficult to root against those guys, you know, at this point. So we'll see. Although
their coach is a certified lunatic, and ingests enough caffeine every day to kill a rhinoceros. So, like, I don't want him coaching the Packers necessarily, but he's a great fit for the Lions, for the fan base. They're all in on him, and it's hilarious.
He had some random quote when he started that job about how he was going to rip him from the kneecaps. I was like, ooh.
That's yep.
Cool. I don't know if I like that. But, you know, my dad was a Lions fan, so God bless them. See how they do. But, you know what? Hopefully Stuttgart can go to Bochum, who has the same colors as the Lions, some blue and some white, and we can ruin their dreams a little bit.
Maybe only one blue and white team can win next weekend. So it can be the Lions and not Bochum, because we're going to beat Bochum till now.
All right, guys, you heard it here first. But the Bochum Lions are going down next week. All right, man. Hey, thanks so much for joining us this episode. Happy 2024, everybody. And you know what? Hopefully there's a lot more happier Sundays, you know, well, Saturdays too, I guess, in our future there. Matt, thanks a lot, man.
Happiness all the days, Travis. Thanks for having me.